"Back to the Dauntless," Kinnison directed tersely, and they went, taking with them the bodies of the slain patrolmen. The 10 who had been tortured were dead. 12 more had perished under the mental forces or the physical blows of the overlords. Nothing could be done for any of them, save to take their remains back to Tellus.
"What do we do with this ship? Let's burn her out, huh?"
asked Van Buskirk. "Not on Tuesdays. The College of Science would fry me to a crisp in my own lard if I did," Kinnison retorted. "We take her in, as is. Where are we, Wurzel? Have you and the Navigator found out yet?"
"Way, way out, almost out of the galaxy,"
Wurzel replied, and one of the computers recited a string of numbers, then added,
"I don't see how we could have come so far in that short a time."
"How much time was it? Got any idea?" Kinnison asked pointedly.
"Why, by the chronometers... Oh..."
The man's voice trailed off. "You're getting the idea. Wouldn't have surprised me much if we'd been clear out of the known universe. Hyperspace is funny that way, they say. Don't know a thing about it myself, except that we were in it for a while, and that's enough for me." Back to Tellus they drove at the highest practicable speed, and at Prime Base, scientists swarmed over and throughout the Bosconian vessel. They tore down, rebuilt, measured, analyzed, tested, and conferred. "They got some of it, but they say you missed a lot," Thorndike reported to his friend Kinnison one day. "Old Cardine is mad as a cat eagle about your report on that vortex or tunnel or whatever it was. He says your lack of appreciation of the simplest fundamentals is something pitiful," or words to that effect. "He's going to blast you to a cinder as soon as he can get hold of you." "Well, we can't all be first violiners in the orchestra. Some of us got to push wind through the trombone," Kinnison quoted philosophically. "I've done my damnedest. How's a guy going to report accurately on something he can't hear, see, feel, taste, smell, or sense? But I heard that they've solved that thing of the interpenetrability of the two kinds of matter. What's the lowdown on that?" "Cardine says it's simple. Maybe it is, but I'm a technician myself, not a mathematician. As near as I can get it, the overlords and their stuff were treated or conditioned with an oscillatory of some kind, so that under the combined action of the fields generated by the ship and the shore station, all their substance was rotated almost out of space. Not out of space exactly, either. More like, say, very nearly 180 degrees out of phase. So that two bodies, one untreated, our stuff, could occupy the same place at the same time without perceptible interference. The failure of either force, such as your cutting the ship's generators, would relieve the strain.